you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, just kind of looking into things, it's great you're here with us, you're very welcome. But Christians actually often go on a lot about God's grace. So what is it? What do we mean by this idea of God's grace? Well, God's grace is basically shorthand for talking about what God does for us. It's the opposite of us helping ourselves. It's a very big idea, isn't it, in our society, that we need to help ourselves. But God's grace is how God works to help us. And so our big idea this term is God's grace transforming us. He's at work in us to change us in our everyday lives. And that's what we're going to be thinking about. Now, we've got a sermon series coming up later in term, our kind of big one of the term, is called Respectable Sins. It's in our hearts, isn't it, all of us, to kind of point the finger at other people, at the wrong things they do. As a society, we say, well, certain things are really bad, and then we completely overlook stuff in our own lives, which the Bible says actually also is deeply wrong. So we're going to have a series, it's kind of based on a book, looking at those kinds of things. So things like pride, gossip, grumbling, jealousy, anger, impatience, all those kinds of things. So we're going to be looking at that for quite a lot of this term. And then in our midweek groups, we got this kind of new midweek groups flyer for the year. So please do grab one on your way out. And it tells you all about our midweek groups coming up. So if you're not in a group, you could have a look and think, oh, do I want to come and join one? It's got details of what's going on. But the big thing we're going to be doing this term in a lot of our midweek groups is we're going to be looking at a booklet called Real Change. And this booklet called Real Change, it's all about how God brings change in our lives at a heart level. That's what he wants to do. He wants to change us in that way. And it's a book where there's been lots of discussion, lots of practical talking about that over the course of this term. So that's our big topic for the autumn. And to kick it all off, we're looking at this letter of Titus. And the big theme is God's grace transforming lives. So I wonder, how do you feel as I tell you that's our big topic? How do you feel about that? Now, one reaction I have in myself is, well, I really hope that person over there gets to the week on dot, dot, dot. And maybe you're thinking, if you're married, I really hope my spouse gets to that one. Certainly, I'm sure Laura has a little list of ones I should get to. But if I'm honest, there's also another reaction in me when I hear this is the topic for the term. And that is, ooh, it all sounds a bit personal, a bit kind of uncomfortable. I'm not sure I want to face up to some of those things in my life. And maybe there's a voice in your own heart saying similar things. Oh, I don't think I want to be part of a midweek group if they're thinking about change. I know in my heart, well, there's a voice saying, avoid those sermons, avoid them. So the question I want to look at today is, why focus on God's grace changing us? Why have we got this kind of big topic, this big theme for the term? And I want to say it's the issue which Paul's facing here in the letter of Titus. This letter is written by Paul, you can see that in the opening verse, and it's written to a guy called Titus, and you get that in verse 4. So from Paul to Titus. Titus was a church leader, first century, on the island of Crete, that holiday destination. And Paul is writing to him to tell him to keep preaching God's grace. Have a look again at verse 1. Now Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We're not quite there yet, Martin. So he's saying there that he's a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's a servant of God, literally, if you have a look at the footnote there, for a slave of God. He's literally a slave of God. Now, that sounds quite a strong thing to say. Who would say that about themselves? Well, Paul's point there is he's not serving his own agenda. He's a slave of God. He does what God's agenda says. And then he says, well, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. It means he's been sent with the authority of Jesus. And so what's God's agenda? What has Jesus sent him to do? Well, verse 3, we're told that he has been entrusted to preach God's word. And as we go through the letter of Titus, we're going to see that God's word is all about God's grace. The message Paul has to preach is God's grace. Have a look over to chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. I think this is probably the heart of the letter. It says there, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." You see? So Paul's telling Titus to keep preaching God's grace. Keep preaching God's grace. And the reason why Paul must write to Titus is that on the island of Crete, there were people trying to stop Titus, discourage him from doing that. We have some kind of false teachers who are giving out a different message, and we're going to meet them coming up in some of the other sermons in our series. But what we're going to do today is we're basically going to look at the opening four verses, and it's basically Paul saying hello. But in this kind of hello, he cuts straight to the chase. And he wants to already, right from the start, convince Titus to follow his pattern of preaching. So as we go through, we're going to notice three reasons why Paul keeps preaching God's grace and why we should be preaching God's grace, transforming our lives this term as well. So here are three reasons. First of all, preaching God's grace changes our everyday lives. Preaching God's grace changes our everyday lives. So verse 1, "Paul, servant of God and apostle Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness." So Paul's saying there, I've been set apart as a servant of God and apostle Jesus Christ for this reason. For the faith of God's chosen people, that's us Christians, and our knowledge of the truth. That's Paul's life mission, according to the opening of Titus. So he wants us then to be growing, to have a strong and a living faith, to have kind of deep foundations in Jesus, to trust him no matter what. So at the heart of how God wants to change us is that he wants to deepen our faith, our trust, our dependence on him. The kind of image I have is of a small child trusting his or her mum and dad. It's that kind of trust, isn't it? That faith. And then secondly, he wants the church to grow in knowledge of the truth. Now that second bit, knowledge of the truth, it kind of pushes harder and it really hits the nail on the head as to how our faith must be strengthened. How is it that we're going to have a strong and living faith in Jesus? Well, the answer is we hear and grow in the knowledge of the truth. Now, it's obvious that what he's talking about here is not kind of theoretical head knowledge. It's not like going to university and getting a degree or something, right? It's knowledge which accords with godliness. Godliness is that kind of total commitment to God in all of life. It's being like God in all of life, in everyday living. As you go through the letter, he's going to spell out a lot of stuff for us to look at and think about. So it's not head knowledge. It's knowledge which is going to transform us in our behaviour and our everyday living. And it's knowledge of the truth then, which is personal knowledge of God. As you know God, then you'll be changed to trust him. Have a look down to the end of chapter 1 in verse 16. Here's the opposite here's what the false teachers on Crete are saying, or Paul's saying about them. They profess to know God. They're saying we got knowledge, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Okay, so they claim to know God. They claim to have knowledge of the truth, but Paul says it's obvious they don't, because they don't live out a godly life. If you really know God, then you'll trust him in all of life, and you'll be like him in all of life, won't you? So here then is the first reason Paul preaches God's grace. It changes our everyday lives. For as Paul preaches God and his grace, well, people are changed. There's a life-changing power in God's grace. Now, if you preach something else, however religious or spiritual it might sound, it's not going to produce godliness. When I went for ordination training, I was training to be a curate at a college. I was shocked at actually how many other ordinands, what they thought was okay to do. I actually remember at college, and it slightly shocked me really, that some students got drunk. Some students were watching a film with very explicit sex scenes, and they were just laughing at it, and I just had to get out of the room. Students had very worldly attitudes about how to handle conflict and get their own way, and I was just shocked by all this. And here's the thing. It flows out of what they believed. We were at a college which called itself an evangelical college, an open evangelical college was its kind of ethos. And it seemed to me that for so many of them, what that meant was they liked singing modern songs, they liked an informal style of worship, they liked helping people, all good things. But there was no deep knowledge of God in the Bible, no deep knowledge of his grace and how his grace is working in us to save us from sin. Many seem to me to have a kind of pick and choose approach to the Bible. Focus on the bits you like, which make you feel good, and you can ignore the other bits. But that's the thing, isn't it? When you've got a pick and choose approach to the Bible, well then, I'll go for the bits I like, and then the bits which are challenging, which are getting into the dark corners of our lives, the dark corners of our hearts, well, I'll just kind of ignore those. And once you're in that kind of place, it's not going to be a Bible which changes you, is it? God's words, his grace, is not going to change you because you're not listening to it. You're saying, oh, I don't want to hear that. You see, the Bible is kind of, it's meant to get inside you. It's meant to get inside you and start confronting the darkest parts of our hearts. The bits which we know aren't quite right. And as it does that, it will feel uncomfortable. But it's the only way in which we're going to be changed, really changed. Now, of course, there is an opposite danger, isn't there? You know, some people just kind of pick and choose from the Bible, but there's an opposite danger. You see, preaching the Bible is not just preaching a morality. It's not just preaching right and wrong. It's preaching God's grace. You see, the message of the Bible is not pull up your socks, try harder and be a good boy and girl. It's just not that. The message of the Bible is God's grace. And God's grace transforms us. It's not about trying really hard to not step out of line. It's about believing that God is at work in us and is wanting to change us. It's his work in us. And when he does that, then he starts changing our hearts. He gets in at that deep level. As this course Real Change is going to do, it's looking at God's grace. It's looking at how he changes us, not how we can sort out our behaviour on the outside. And so that means that if you're sat here this morning and you happen to be one of the preachers preaching the series later this term, Respectable Sins, then it's not going to be 20 minutes of finger wagging. Isn't that good news? It's not going to be that. No, what we're going to be doing is we think about each of those sins, is we're going to see how each of those sins is against what God is like. We're going to see how each of those sins is a failure to trust him. We're going to see how each of those sins, well, if we get to know God better, we get to know what he's doing in our life better, then we'll start to see him transforming us. And we'll see what the opposite of those sins is. So we might look at grumbling and we'll see the opposite is encouraging. Can you see? So actually, as we come to that series, it won't be finger wagging. It won't be just telling us all off. We're going to be looking at God's grace. We're going to be seeing how he is at work changing us. It will be uncomfortable. But as we hear God's grace, it will be changing us. So here then is the first reason. The first reason is that preaching God's grace changes our everyday lives. Painful, but life-changing. Secondly, preaching God's grace prepares us for eternal life. Here in verse 2, he carries on saying that he's going to do these things in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Paul is saying his end goal is not just that he wants to see moral reform. He's not just a first century equivalent of Mary Whitehouse, remember her? In a kind of campaign to get some good old-fashioned values and morals back into British society. That ain't what Paul's about. He's got eternity in view. He wants the lives of these Christians here on Crete to be transformed in the hope of eternal life. He's utterly convinced that that is what his life is about. Now, here it says that God does not lie. Paul's saying that this hope we have is utterly certain. It's rock solid certain. If you have a glance over to chapter 1, verse 12, he says there that Cretans, so that's people from Crete, are always liars. You see, it seemed to be a cultural problem on Crete that people lied. But Paul's saying God's not like that. What he promises about eternal life is true. It's going to happen. And so that is why Paul's compelled to preach God's grace. There's a kind of chain of logic. Paul preaches God's grace, so their lives are transformed, and so they're prepared for eternal life with God forever. And you can see that chain of logic elsewhere in the letter. We had it in chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. The grace of God, verse 11. Verse 12, trains us to live godly lives. Verse 13, as we wait for our hope. Verse 15, so teach these things. Can you see? Or have a look on to chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Saviour, appeared, that's his grace, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, what God did for us, his grace, was aimed at transforming us from the inside out so that we might share in eternal life. Same logic then, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And so Paul's saying to get into eternal life then, we don't just need to be forgiven and justified, we also need our hearts to be cleaned and transformed. It doesn't give us the right to eternal life, but prepares us, fits us ready for eternal life. If we're going to live in God's presence forever, then we need to be like God, don't we? We need to be like him. So then, we have God's grace at work in our hearts, changing us bit by bit, day by day, ready for eternal life to come. So I think we just need to pause on that for a moment. I wonder how many of us see God changing us as a kind of optional extra in the Christian life. Well, it ain't how Paul sees things here, is it? For him, it's essential. And that's why he sees the false teaching going on in Crete as such a big problem, because it takes people away from eternal life. And it's why what we teach and preach here week on week, and especially this term as we think about this theme, is so important. Now, sometimes people can say, well, you know, you just get a bit wound up by having to teach the right thing. You know, people can just be a bit picky about getting it right. But Paul says, no, the reason why it's really important to get our teaching and our preaching right is because eternal life is at stake. Have a look down at verse 9 of chapter 1. He's talking now about church leader and says a church leader must teach what's in accord with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. We need to get it right, our teaching right. Now that word sound, often Christians joke about that, saying, well, that speaker was really sound or something like that. But actually the word sound means healthy. You can see that in the footnote of our Bibles, healthy. This week I read an article about a teenager, a 17-year-old teenager, who had gone blind because they just ate chips and crisps all the time. Did you see that article? You see, now if you feed yourself on unhealthy food all the time, you'll be all right for a little while maybe, but you'll start to damage your health in the long term, and it might even in the end kill you. Well, how's your spiritual diet? Are you just eating chips and crisps? Can I urge you this autumn not to run away from hearing the preaching of God's grace and being part of a small group as we look at God's grace? It's part of a healthy diet. You see, Paul's convinced that preaching and any kind of teaching, whether in small groups or other contexts, well, you've got to preach God's grace. You've got to teach God's grace if you want to live forever. Only God's grace can transform. Only God's grace can prepare you for eternal life. Okay, lastly, preaching God's grace is part of God's big plan. So verse 3 brings to a close what Paul's saying here. If we stand back from these verses, we'll see Paul's got a kind of timeline. So verse 2, you've got him kind of talking about before the ages began. And then in verse 3, he talks about, verse 2, first of all, he talks about eternal life. And then in the middle of that, he talks about himself. So we've got this big timeline of God's plan from eternity past, eternity future. And in the middle, Paul puts himself. Verse 3, at the proper time, he manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Saviour. You see, Paul is convinced that he is an apostle charged with the task of preaching God's grace, and that fits in this great big plan of God's. You see, Paul, the opponents here on Crete, these false teachers, they might have been saying, well, that Paul, he's just a bit over the top on all this grace stuff. He just keeps going on about Jesus so much and how Jesus died and rose again to change your life. But Paul is saying his preaching is anchored into God's great plan. He talks about how it came at the proper time. The proper time. And I think chapter 2 verse 11 helps us here again. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. It's talking about Jesus, isn't it? God's Son coming from heaven to die and rise again to bring salvation. And Paul, he comes after that, proclaiming Jesus. He's come at the proper time. So here then is the third and last reason why Paul preaches God's grace. It's all part of God's plan. And so we must see then that as we preach God's grace this autumn, we are actually right in the grain of God's big plan. What does God's plan, stretching back into eternity past and going into eternity future, mean for us here in Lowestoft 2019? Preaching God's grace. And that's really important, isn't it? To see it's part of God's big plan. Because it means it's God's plan for us. See, God's plan for you is not just for you to be forgiven, to be made to feel good about yourself, to believe in God, to enjoy going to church, God's plan is for you to be transformed by his grace. Run away from that and you're running away from God's plan for you. So as a church then, this shapes really who we are and what we're aiming to be. As someone puts it, as a church, we are called to be a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints. Okay, say that again. So we are called to be a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints. So we're not called to kind of pretend to be perfect people with each other. I'm not a perfect person and none of you are. We're called to be people who, yes, we're honest about the fact our lives are messy, but we want God's grace to be at work in us, healing us. Now, I remember talking to someone here saying about someone else and we're saying, oh yeah, that aspect of their character is not great. But you know what they said to me is, they've been here 10 years and they've actually seen how God's grace has been at work in that person. And that's what we want to see, isn't it? We're broken, messy people. Sometimes we're quite difficult people. I'm quite difficult, I can tell you that. But God's grace is at work in us. And what a wonderful thing to say that, isn't it? To think back over the last 10 years, has God's grace been at work in you? Changing you so that other people might even notice. You see, God loves us as we are. He comes, he forgives us and justifies us as we are. But he doesn't leave us as we are because he loves us too much for that. So then, three reasons which compelled Paul to keep preaching God's grace. It changes lives, it prepares us for eternal life, and it's part of God's big plan. But the passage finishes with verse 4. To Titus, my true child, in a common faith. Titus is not Paul's physical son, he's his spiritual son. Paul's saying, if you preach like me, you preach God's grace, then you're my spiritual child. You do what I do. But Paul writes this, although he's writing to Titus, this church leader, he wants everyone else to overhear what he's saying. It's a little bit like a wedding sermon, isn't it? The preacher speaks to the couple, but speaks to the couple with everyone else hearing. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's saying, Titus, stick at preaching God's grace. Be like me, preach God's grace. But he wants everyone else to overhear that so that they might value the preaching of God's grace. And so I think this is where we're left then in these opening four verses. And it's where we're left as we come to this autumn term, as we think about all these topics coming up of God changing us. Value the preaching of God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we want to take these things on board. We want to be changed. So please, Father, will you be at work in our hearts and our lives to change us? Help us not to be people who run away, who hide or ignore what you're saying to us, but that we see that you're working for our good to change us, to bring us through into eternal life, and that that is at the heart of your plan and purposes for us. Amen.